Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with our guest, Rachel Herbeck, my daughter. She's the youngest of our four children. She's happens to be here in town visiting the family. She works for the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Rachel was on the program yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. Programs are archived right there. You can listen to them on your computer or download them on whatever device you have, or you could sign up for the podcast. But welcome back, Rachel.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Went fast last time.
It's a quick program. Toward the end of yesterday's program, you were talking about, we talked a little bit about working for the church in this context where the crisis, you know, with the Cardinal McCarrick thing and all the stuff that's happening across the states, you know, many states are battling. So it's a challenging time for many, many Catholics. And you talked about tools that can help people through a storm like this, a difficult time. We didn't get into specifics very much, but you did talk about noticing how challenging it is for people, and depending upon whether they have access to these tools or are taking advantage of the tools to strengthen their own faith in Christ to help them walk through the storm, it really makes a difference, kind of what you're seeing in terms of people's peace and engagement and the rest of it.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about, when you talk about tools, what tools do you have in mind and what difference do you see them making?
Sure. Well, I think just not even just in the context of the scandal and what's happening in the church, I think just in general, even in my own life, in my own spiritual life, I don't employ the tools that I need to employ to move forward or to move closer to the Lord or to really walk in faith. I think of kind of this analogy, as you were just talking, I was thinking about this. I live with four other young women in Minneapolis and kind of in a household type situation. And the Lord blessed us with a beautiful house, and we all jokingly call it the mansion because it's the biggest house any of us have ever lived in. So when we moved in, we all discovered how expensive furniture was. And so I was like, I'll just build it. You know, I want a farmhouse table. I'll just build it all. So we didn't have any tools. So I couldn't build the stuff. And then when we actually got access to the tools, I had no idea what to do with them. You know, I've never drilled. I've never sawed. It seems so easy. And so just this concept of sometimes people, one, don't even have access to the tools. And then two, we say, well, look, you have access to all of these tools, but they have no idea no one's ever showed them how to use it. And so the two main tools I think of in my own life are scripture and the sacraments, and the sacraments being mainly confession and daily mass, if I can get to it. But I think of a lot of people that I've encountered, and a lot of people in my life, and a lot of times in my own life going through seasons and getting into that, like nobody really encourages a lot of people that I meet to go to confession on a regular basis, or what that looks like, or what the graces of the sacrament looks like, or how do you not be afraid to do that, you know, or even how to find confession times at their church, you know, something even as practical as that, or daily mass times, or a lot of churches don't have daily mass, you know, and so helping people get a hold of these tools and talk about them is something that we don't do either.
In terms of reading the Bible, scripture,
sure,
what difference has that made for you and for friends, and how are you helping people engage it in
right
your own life?
I mean, scripture is, I think it's just something we're used to hearing scripture at mass, you know, and for a lot of my life, I'm used to hearing it at mass, I'll hear it in the readings, and that's it. But when I started to read scripture, I mean, it's the manual for my life, you know, and so now I'm at a place where, you know, when I take my prayer time, I can't go a day without reading scripture. You know, other than the Eucharist, this is my daily bread. The scriptures are my daily bread. And so the scripture tells me everything. Once you kind of flip your brain and see how scripture is really meant to be received, the scripture tells me everything about where I have come from, where I am, and where I'm going. So about my past, present, and future, and what Jesus has done for me through that. And so everything I need to know about myself is in this book. And so if everything I need to know about myself is in this book and I'm not reading it, then I don't know about myself, right? And so then how can I live and move forward in the faith if I'm not meditating on those truths? And so for me, I think it opened my eyes totally to who I am in a new way, because I was able to see the depth of what Jesus has done for me through the scriptures, and not just a general blanket statement of, oh yeah, Jesus died for me and that's awesome.
As you were speaking, it was the words of Pope Benedict XVI that I've mentioned a number of times over the years on the program about the Word of God. You know, he said that he believed that the secret to a new spiritual springtime for the church can be found in the daily reading of the mm-hmm. Word of God. And he said reading it, he's talking about Lectio Divina, but he's also talking, but just, he said chewing on God's Word daily, mm-hmm. like a cow chews its cud. The cow chews its cud, it sucks the juices out of it. And that, he said, that's what we ought to do. We take the Word in at the beginning of the day, and then we periodically go back to it. We kind of, like a cow regurgitates what it takes mm-hmm. in and chews on it some more. We can do the same thing. So there's, he said that the reason he had so much confidence in its capacity to awaken the church and to strengthen the church and bring about a new spiritual springtime, he said, is because we meet a person in that Word, unlike any other Word ever written.
Right.
God himself is speaking to us directly about who he is and who we are, which yeah. is kind of echoes what you're
right.
saying.
I was yeah. just speaking to some confirmation students of some sophomores in high school about Scripture, and we were going over what the Catechism says, and it's really beautiful. The section about Scripture falls under the heading, God comes to meet man. You know, so even just that small detail of the description of what Scripture is and what we see Scripture as in the faith is God coming to meet man. And it says in there, there's a line that says, primarily the Scripture is the Father coming to meet his children. Mm-hmm. Right? And so every word in here, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, every book is an attempt at the Father coming to meet his children, you know? And so when we think of it that way, as opposed to, I just kind of had to drudge through it. I asked the kids, I was like, do you think the Bible's boring? And they're like, well, yeah. But once you kind of get past this facade of what Scripture is and think of it as that of this is God coming to meet me mm-hmm. in this book, that changes everything. And so if I keep this shut on my bookshelf, I'm missing an entire personal way that God comes to meet me, that the Father desires to come meet me and show me the ways that I am his child.
What other kind of questions did you ask those kids? I'm just curious.
Well, I took them through, it was before Christmas, so I took them through the nativity story because, you know, I could kind of tell they thought the Bible was a little bit boring. And so we filled in the kind of the gaps together of what it would have been like for Mary and Joseph to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, what it would have been like for a woman who's 9 months pregnant to ride on a donkey to Bethlehem and give birth in a town in a cave that wasn't her hometown, you know. And so they kind of filled in the gaps and were like, oh, wow, that's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
And so we talked a little bit about that. And even them hearing, you know, what's written in Scripture about Scripture is the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to discern and cut through the thoughts of the heart. You know, that's something that St. Paul says. They were shocked, you know, about how can the Bible be that, you know, because we've never actually opened it and dived into some of these truths.
Yeah, it's ironic. It can be looked at like any other book, which is a kind of dead letter in some way. It's mm-hmm. just letters on a page.
Sure.
But instead, it's living. It's alive. And it has a, in what way, let's talk about that just for a minute. Like, in what way is it alive and living?
Right. Well, I think sometimes we tend to just read it and say, well, I'm just going to pull out little pieces that maybe apply to my life. But I think one thing that I actually learned, I recently took an Old Testament class, and to kind of learn in detail how Scripture comes together and how the books actually have many, many different authors. And I think at first that throws some people off and they think, well, maybe it's just people who make it up and write it. But the fact that God spoke through so many different people to write the Bible and that it never contradicts itself mm-hmm. once is actually an amazing miracle. So I think the fact that it's living, but also that it, in that sense, but also that it even applies to our life now, you know, to see the Word, when you read it with the Holy Spirit in you, and you read it in light of what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, there really is an experience of the words almost jumping off of a page. You guys can't see because it's on a TV interview, but there's some pages of here that are almost every single line is underlined, you know,
in your Bible.
Yeah, in my Bible. And some days where you're reading and you can't even get through one line of Scripture. It's so rich. And so I think that's something that God does through the Holy Spirit is brings the Word alive so that not only it applies to our life. And I think that's one way we only tend to read it in ways that it applies for our life, which it does apply to our life and who we are now. But it brings us alive. And I think mm-hmm. that's something that I've experienced with Scripture is not only, oh, is this cool and this applies to this struggle that I'm having, even though it was written X amount of years ago, but the fact that when I read it, something in my heart awakens, right? And it brings me more to who I'm created to be, right? So it actually brings me alive. The Word yeah. brings me alive.
How do you experience that? Like, it just stirs your heart, sets you on fire. How does it bring you more alive?
Right. I think I've experienced more than ever a sense of wonder and awe in reading the scriptures than I ever have in my faith before. And so really getting, especially in some of the writings of Paul, I would suggest if you're listening to this, the place that I started was the Gospel of John. I think that's a good place to start, maybe for people who are saying, should I just play Bible roulette? I don't know where to read, but to maybe start with the Gospel of John and go through the Gospels. But when I started to read this, it really was an experience of wonder and awe in this excitement of, you know, reading what Jesus has done for me, you know, and maybe we'll get into some particulars later, but I'm thinking of some scriptures that describe in detail the redeeming act of Jesus and what that means for me, not only on earth, but in the future. You know, the idea that I have this inheritance, for example, in heaven, and the Holy Spirit was given to me as a down payment for that inheritance, and I actually am royalty. You know, things like that, that St. Paul describes in detail, that when we read the scriptures and we read these things from the apostles and from the inspired word of God, for me, it opened up this place in my heart that was just in awe. I was almost giddy at what God had done for me, because just this amazement, you know, you read it and you think, how could this even be possible? Mm-hmm. How could this be true? This is incredible. But then you remember that everything written in this book is actually the most real thing about your life. It's realer than you and I sitting here today, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Friends, if you're just tuning in, I'm here today with my daughter, Rachel Herbeck, who was in town and just asked her to join me on the program today. You're mentioning the Gospel of John, and I just happen to have my Bible open, and there's a reference here to the seven I am sayings of Jesus. Mm-hmm. In you know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I'm the door of the sheep, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the resurrection and the life, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, I am the true vine. And so what you get in Scripture, and why it's so deeply personal, is Jesus reveals the Father in this. Mm-hmm. He brings us into a place, he helps us enter his relationship with the Father as a son, because he's given us power to become children of God through the Holy Spirit, who helps us enter into that reality. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit gives us a capacity to both hear it and to engage it, and as you said, to awaken our hearts to it. But this is also a place where Jesus reveals to us who he is. So it's very personal. Like,
right.
So it's really good to, when you read something like the Gospel of John, say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me see who is Jesus, really. Help me understand him in a more personal way. Mm-hmm. And then I come to understand myself, which has been a theme that you've touched on quite a bit.
Yeah. And even in, you know, the Gospel of John, once you start reading, you see all of these connections. But I'm thinking of, in the Old Testament, you see something appear a lot, which is this word kabod, which in Hebrew means the glory of God, right? Which is actually the external manifestation of God's glory. And so God, the way that I like to think of Scripture even lately, is God desired to reveal his glory. The Father desired to reveal his glory to us so much that these external manifestations weren't enough, that he had to give us Jesus in the Word as the flesh, and also in the Word as the Scripture.
No, beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, the Lord wants to, we who have fallen from glory have been called to share in his glory forever. And Jesus literally gives us a share in what belongs to him, the eternal glory of the Son of God. This is our destiny, friends. This is your destiny. What a great way to start the day, to think about it, to be able to internalize it. Rach, can you come back tomorrow?
Yeah.
Let's look at some of the passages that have sort of lit up your heart more. We can talk about those tomorrow. Friends, God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the Church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.